This is the book of Ephesians, the first chapter. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. I want to read to you verse number 10, then we'll turn to the third chapter. That in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on the earth, even in him. I'm going to turn over to the third chapter of Ephesians, the 14th and 15th verse. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Let us pray. Father, I sure do want to thank you today for your wonderful grace. You've just been so good to us, far above what we deserve, Lord, and we thank you so much for loving us, sending your Son to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have eternal life. Thank you, Father, that we can stand here today asking you, Father, for your help and your power and your wisdom, and know, God, that you will answer. We thank you so much for that. And I just pray this morning, Father, that the perfect will be done. Should there be any here, Father, not ready for heaven, I would pray, Father, before they leave this place this morning, they'd be ready, Lord, to step into thy presence on the day that they go on to be with you. Now, once again, Lord, we need your help. We need your power. I pray for your clearness, Lord, of thought and speech. And Father, all that I'm going to do this morning, I just need it. I need it from you. You help us to be a blessing, and I'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Yesterday, many of you was in the services of Brother Chesser. We was a part of that service that just kind of helped in the graduation service, going on to heaven. And Mary and Vernon is here this morning, and we continue to pray for you and just love you in the Lord, and we feel like that's what we can do and be a blessing to you. I know that they want to express to you the thanks for all the food that was brought for the dinner. I know they will do that themselves, but you people were a blessing and a help, and we want to thank you so much for what you did. It's a real blessing. The kindness you bestowed upon this family during the visitation time and at the funeral and after the funeral was a blessing to these people. And we certainly thank you as a congregation. I thank you so much for being a part of that. That's what we as a family of God should do. It should be just normal for us. Because you know what? We're all going to see times of difficulty and hard times, and we all need each other. Amen. And this morning, I'm just going to preach for a little while on heaven and talk to you about heaven this morning. It's a wonderful place. It's a place reserved. The Word of God says we have a reservation in heaven, and it can't be canceled. It's forever. Amen. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. If you're God's child, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you've truly been born again, you have a reservation in heaven. Nobody, period, can ever take it away from you. It's reserved for you up there. It's a wonderful thing. Amen. So we just want to talk a little bit about heaven this morning. You know, I know that in the Bible is the only place you're going to learn about true heaven. There isn't any other source that you can look to find any truths about heaven. I don't know if you ever looked in a concordance or not, but the word heaven or heavenly is there over 700 times. Now, it's not always talking about the third heaven, but it's there 700 times. I think God thought it important that we hear it about heaven. And so this morning, we're just going to take a few moments this morning and just talk to you about heaven. The first heaven that we know of in the Bible, back in Daniel, the fourth chapter, he talks about the heavens just above us. He speaks in that verse of scripture about the fowl of the heaven. In other words, it's where the birds fly. Amen. It's where the clouds are. And in modern day, it's where the planes fly. Amen. It's where they fly. But it's a place that's probably and approximately, I'm really basically guessing, around 50 miles deep. The second heaven over in the book of Genesis tells us about the portion that is above the atmosphere. The second heaven, which is where the stars and the planets and all of those things are. That's where our people, we call it space travel today. That's where our people go up into that part of the heaven. That's where God made two lights and placed them in that portion, the second heaven. He made the sun and he made the moon. I think most of you know that the moon is simply a reflection of the sun shining upon it and reflecting it to us tonight. Today, I believe something. I believe that that's what the church is. I believe the church is a picture of the moon, the Son of God reflecting on the church and the church reflecting to a dark world. I believe that's what God is speaking about. But we know that there's the second heaven. And that's where all, as I said, the stars and the planets and the moon and the sun and all those things are. But there's a third heaven. There's a place where God's throne is. And the Word of God has much to say about that. In fact, I'm going to take you over to Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, and I'm just going to read a few verses to you about one who saw it. We find, he says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations." This is in the 12th chapter of, excuse me, did I say 1 Corinthians? Yeah, 2 Corinthians. Okay, 2 Corinthians, 12th chapter. I'll start over, verse number 1. "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth such as one caught up in the third heaven." Here is where the Bible speaks of God's throne as the third heaven. He also says in verse 3, "And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth how that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for man to utter." Here it's referred to as paradise. It's a wonderful, wonderful place. It's God's place. One of these days, let me say to you that all of this that we know, the atmospheric heaven, the stars and the moon and all of that, one of these days is going to burn with fervent heat. But let me say to you, that does not include God's heaven. God's heaven is eternal and will always be. It's a wonderful place. It's the third heaven spoken of in the Bible, and it's the paradise of God Almighty. And some, as we'll talk about in a few minutes, some has had the privilege to be caught up there. And then to even return. Okay, we'll look at that in a few moments. But I just wanted you to know there's a wonderful, wonderful place called heaven. It's not a state of mind. It's not some little aisle off somewhere. You know, there may be times in your life you may have said, "Boy, this seems like heaven. You feel so good and you have got a beautiful place," and you just sit back and you haven't seen heaven yet. Amen. You may think you've been there for a little while, but you've never seen heaven. Heaven is so wonderful. It's such a wonderful, wonderful place. So I want to talk to you a little bit about it because I believe in heaven. I'm not going to talk about hell today, really, basically, but I believe in heaven. I believe in hell, too. I believe in both of those. I believe the Scripture teaches both of them, and that's why I believe it. But I believe in heaven. I believe it's a wonderful place for God's people. And I would say to you, all of those who've gone on after this life and are there today would never, ever, ever want to come back. They would not choose to come back. It is such a wonderful place, you see. So first of all, I want to share with you, over in John, the 14th chapter, God says it's a prepared place. Heaven is a place prepared. God, the Word of God said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Now, let me share with you. And then he goes on to say, "I go to prepare a place for you." I believe the mansions are there now. If you will listen to that verse of Scripture, he's not talking about he's going to go prepare mansions. A lot of people talk about that and say, "Well, Jesus had to go up and prepare a bunch of mansions." They're already there. He said, "In my Father's house are many mansions." Then he says, "I go to prepare a place for you." what I believe that place he's going to prepare for us is that pearly white city that Tommy talked about yesterday in his song. He's in the book of Revelation, he's preparing a wonderful place, that wonderful New Jerusalem is going to come down out of heaven, prepared for his bride, which is the church. He's preparing that for us. It's a prepared place. Okay? It isn't something threw together. It's something that God, Jesus, has went to prepare for us, and he's been gone for 2,000 years. And I would think it's going to be a wonderful place. If Jesus made it, we know it's going to be a wonderful place. And so he's gone on to prepare a place for us. Not only that, it's a perfect place. You won't ever have to worry about anything imperfect ever being there. There'll be no sinners there. Only sinners washed in the blood of Jesus. See, it's a very perfect place. There'll be no sin ever in heaven. Ever, never, 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 never. It's impossible. It is a perfect, perfect place. Wouldn't that be wonderful? Boy, it's sure opposite of what this is. I'm going to tell you right now. We all know each other and we know how it is down here, and it's a really imperfect place. Amen. But heaven is going to be a perfect place that God has made, especially mainly because of the one who made it, the one who has designed it. It's going to be perfect because our God is perfect. We know also it's a permanent place. It's a place that will never end. Folks, listen to me. This is so serious. If you just think about it a moment, when you enter into the portals of heaven, you'll never ever have to worry again of not being in the presence of Jesus Christ. He said, "Where I am, there ye will be also." You know, I've thought about that so many times. I really have. I thought about that. Why would he want me tagging along? I mean, you know, I think of that sometimes, and I think, why would he? I mean, he wants to be in our presence. He wants us there, and where he is, that's where I'm going to be when he comes back to this earth. Amen? After the tribulation period, I'm coming with him. He says I am. You know, I don't know why he wants me tagging around, but I just tell you right now, I want to be right where he's at. It's a permanent place. We'll be with God forever and ever and ever and ever. There'll never be a time that God will ever kick us out of heaven. It's a perfect, wonderful place, and it's there permanently, forever. Amen? And not only that, it's a peaceful place. How many times have you, in the past years and maybe the past week, talked about the turmoil and the things that goes on in the world? And not only even in the world, but sometimes in our own life, things arise and turmoils arise and troubles arise, and it seems like there's just no sweet peace. I'm not talking about the peace of God. I'm talking about from the world. The old world is just full of it. If you say it isn't, will you tell me? I'd like to move in where you're at. Because I find it is always full of turmoil, you see. But God has promised a place where there'll be sweet peace. The main reason for that is the Prince of Peace will be ruling. He's the Prince of Peace, and he'll be there forever and ever. And you'll never have to worry about the torments of life and the turmoils of life. Never have to worry about them. Why? Because it's going to be a peaceful place. I like having peaceful times. You ever think about that? But I do. I like after a good day's work, going home and just being able to sit down sometimes just in that old, they call them overstuffed chairs. That's because they got somebody overstuffed in them. That's why they call them that. I don't know if you knew all that or not, but I'm giving you some good theology today. We just eat dinner, and then we go in, and we sit down in that chair, and it makes it overstuffed is what it does. But anyway, you sit there, and you just enjoy life. You just enjoy, a little bit. But that's nothing compared to what heaven's going to be, because that peace can be broken in a moment's time. A telephone call, amen, can change it. A happening in your house can change it. All kinds of things can change that peace. But in heaven, it's permanent. I'm just real sure that there would be no one choose to come back to this place of turmoil. Now, we miss them, don't we? We miss them, but I'm sure that no one would want to come back to this place of turmoil. Heaven is a wonderful, wonderful place. I believe in heaven because the Bible records four different people. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not, but four different people who went to heaven and came back. You say, Brother Ross, I didn't know there's that many. Yes, that's right. I'm going to give them to you. The first one was Moses. Moses died upon Mount Nebo. God killed him, the Bible says, up there, took his life, and even buried him. The reason God buried him is he didn't want those Israelites, as prone as they were to idol worship, he didn't want them to have the body of Moses, that great man of God that God used all of those years. They would have made him some kind of shrine. They would have put him in a place, and they had been bowing down to that thing over and over again. And so God says, I'm just going to bury him myself. And God buried him. There was even a battle between the archangel and the Satan there over his body, because old Satan sure wanted that body to become a place where people would worship and things like that. But God said, I'm going to bury him on there. And that was about, I suppose, somewhere around 450 B.C., approximately 1500 years later, Moses showed up on the Mount of Transfiguration. Matthew 17. There he was. Jesus had taken his disciples up, Peter, James, and John, taking them up on the Mount of Transfiguration, and they was looking, and they said, well, there's Moses. Now, they said somebody else, but I'm saving that. There's Moses. Well, how did they know him? They'd never seen Moses before. Been 1,500 years ago. But they said, there's Moses up there on the mountain talking with Jesus. Well, you know what? You and I is going to know each other as we are known. You won't have any problem with that. You see, they knew him. They knew him without asking Jesus, well, who is this guy talking to you? No, they said, there's Moses talking with you. Moses came back to this earth up on the Mount of Transfiguration and spoke with Jesus Christ about his decease, about his death. Okay? There's another fellow that I'm keeping it from you, but you already know who it is. It was Elijah. Amen? Elijah one day got ready to go to heaven. God said, it's time. I'm going to take you up today. The people around knew it. Elisha knew it. And Elisha was following him around like a little puppy dog. He wouldn't leave him. And he finally got down to the Jordan River, and old Elijah just took that old mantle of his and kind of folded it up and just smote that river, and that river parted. You know, and old Elijah just walked right straight across that, and Elisha followed him right along. Got on the other side, and the river came back the way it was, and it wasn't long. He said to Elisha, he said, I'll give you the double portion of my spirit. That's what he'd asked for. He said, if you see me go, you'll have the double portion of my spirit. And sure enough, it wasn't long. The Bible says some chariots of fire, some horses of fire, but it says he went up in a whirlwind. Elijah left this earth without dying, went up in a whirlwind. Amen. Elisha took that mantle, walked back down to Jordan's River, smote the river. It went across. It went separated. He went across. And if you'll then start reading in 2 Kings, you'll see miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle that Elisha performed. He had a double portion of the Spirit of God. It just begins with miracles and continues right on with miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. You see, but what happened? Well, along with Moses was Elijah. They're on Mount Transfiguration. So there's Moses and there's Elijah. How'd they know Elijah? They knew him when they seen him. Amen? So Elijah came back to this earth. I want to tell you something. Those two folks believe in heaven. I do. I mean, those two folks went up there to see it. I sure want to see it one of these days. They come back to this earth talking to Jesus about his decease or about his death. Standing there on the Mount of Transfiguration, they came back to this earth. And we already read about the Apostle Paul. The Apostle Paul was a man of God who was caught up into the third heaven, into the paradise of God. The Apostle Paul, that great man of God, was caught up. He saw things, he heard things that he couldn't even utter. And yet he came back and wrote the epistles to the churches. He saw wonderful things in heaven. I don't know all he saw. But I want to tell you something, it's worth waiting on. It's worth waiting. God's got a place for us. It's worth it. Amen. It's going to be a beautiful, wonderful place. I can't describe it. I try sometimes in my own mind to try to describe heaven to myself. I'll read over in Revelation and read about those streets of gold and all of those things, but they don't even seem to really become real to me. I can't understand all of it. The only thing I really understand when I think about heaven is Jesus is going to be there. And he's going to be the light of that city. He's going to be the glory of that city. And I guess when you think of heaven, you know, that's more important than anything else, is seeing him. I know we'll get to see our loved ones, and that's important, and I'm glad for that. But oh, to think of the one who died for us. We'll get to stand in his presence and be with him for all eternity. I don't know why anybody would want to miss heaven. I really don't. I don't understand why anybody would want to miss heaven. It's so going to be such a wonderful, wonderful place. But there was a fourth man, and that was the Apostle John. I want you to go back with me to the book of Revelation, the fourth chapter. The Apostle John in the fourth chapter of the book of Revelation, he says in verse 1, "After this I looked, and behold, a door was opened into heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come up hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he that was sat that sat was to look upon like a jasper and a sardine stone, and there was a rainbow round about the throne, in sight like unto an emerald. And around about the throne were 24 seats, and upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold." I could continue to read, because what he told John was this. He said, I want you to come up hither. He had already showed him things that had been. He had already showed him things that was at that time as he was talking about the churches and things. But then he said, I'm going to show you things that's going to be hereafter. And John was caught up. I'm sure he felt like Paul felt. Was it in the body or out of the body? I don't know. All John said was, I was in the Spirit. I know that. And I know this, he was caught up, and God showed him all of these marvelous things. And he came back from there and wrote the book of Revelation. Penned it down, inspired of God. And we now read this wonderful book from a man who was caught up. Now, I believe with all of my heart that's a picture of what's going to happen when the rapture happens. I don't know the words that Jesus is going to truthfully say. I'm not real sure about that, but I know come up hither would be some pretty nice words. Amen. I know that one day we're going to hear the shout, and he's going to call us up. Do you believe in the rapture?
Yes,
amen. Do you believe it's going to happen?
Yes,
do you believe it could happen soon? Amen. How many here want to go to heaven?
Amen.
Amen. Okay, how many want to, I'm getting up a train. How many want to go today? Oh, I didn't get near as many hands. That's not fair, is it? Amen. But we do want to go to heaven, don't we? We want to be ready. But you know what? We just be ready for the rapture of the church. That's why pastor preaches to you, talks to you about it. That's why other Christians talk about it. Why? Because we've got to be ready, folks. There ain't going to be no second chances. See, that's just what scares me to death. I see people in church services. I see them in homes. I see all this. You know, they just think they've just got time to wait. It's scary. If you know the scripture, the rapture could happen today. That's according to the word of God. It could happen before I'd say another word. Jesus could come. Oh, that's why you've got to be ready. Amen. So I believe in heaven. I believe just like those four men that came back from a place. They didn't want to come back to this earth and stay. God kept a couple of them back for a little while, get done their work, and then took them on to heaven. But I'm just saying, you know, Paul, and I think this is one of the great reasons why Paul said, I am ready to depart. I think in his mind he remembered back to what he saw in heaven. I can't imagine what he saw, what he heard. He couldn't utter it to us. But oh, it kept him going all through his life, and the things that Paul happened to the Apostle Paul, and all of those things, it kept him going. Why? He's seen that view of heaven. And you see, he wasn't afraid to die. He wasn't afraid to go on, depart. You see, he just knew he had a heaven waiting on him. Amen. So I believe there's a heaven, don't you? I believe there's a real heaven because I've had a little bit of a foretaste of it. Now, let me share with you what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about it. I was caught up. I'm not Benny Hinn. I just wanted you to know that. Or any of those other, I better be still. But anyway, I just want you to know I've had a foretaste of heaven. I want you to go with me over to the book of Ephesians, please. In chapter 1, verse number 3, said, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ." When I read that verse of scripture, I think about the day in April in 1966 when I come to know Christ as my personal Savior. And I think about from that day forward, the many blessings of God that's been upon my life. Oh, Brother Ross, has there been difficult times? Sure there has. Has there been times you just didn't know if you're going to make it? I sure have. But I want to tell you the most of the times that I've had has been the blessings of God. Because I'm a saved person ready for heaven. There is blessings in just being a Christian. I think about God the Father who loved me so much he sent his only son to die for me. Well, that's a love that I cannot even imagine. And I think about God the Son, who loved me enough to come to this earth and die upon the cross for my sins, that I might have eternal life. The Son of God dying that horrible death, paying for the sin of all the world. It's an amazing thing. And he did that, and then, of course, he was buried, rose again, the third day, now sits at the right hand of the Father. Can you imagine what God the Father, God the Son, did for you and I? And then God the Holy Spirit, who took up residence in me. God the Holy Spirit living within me. You want to talk about some of the blessings of heaven? A little bit of foretaste of heaven? When the Holy Spirit comes and puts his arm around you in a time of great need, in which I've asked God to do for Sister Mary and all of those other ones. I look out here and I'm just going to kind of try to slip along the pews here for a moment. And I look at Sister Clay, who lost her husband a few years back, Brother Tom Clay, a dear man of God. And she now waits to join him one of these days. We want God to give her a lot of years. But she's waiting. I don't know Mrs. Hammond well enough to know if her husband is passed on or not, Mrs. Hammond. I don't know. It's okay. I just wasn't sure. I look back here and I see, let's see here, who we got here. Cora Wagner, sitting back there just a little over a year ago. Renus went on home to be with the Lord. Amen. And I think, oh, the blessings of God that we know where they're at. I go across here and I see Bo Ackerman sitting back here, who lost his precious wife a few years back. How could he live? How could he go on without the knowledge of her being in heaven? The comfort of eternal life. I look up through here. Somebody help me if you're here. Is there more? Mrs. Vesto. Yes, Mrs. Vesto. Mrs. Vesto lost her dear husband quite a few years back. I want to tell you something, folks. That's difficult. That's hard. Amen? But heaven makes it worthwhile. I don't know how many more there is. Is there anyone else? But I think about it. Yes. Brother Bud. Yes, he has. Brother Bud has lost 3 wives. Brother Bud, God bless you, all in death. Whew. Boy, there's going to be a reunion one of these days. I'm just simply trying to make heaven real to you. Heaven's what it's all about. It's going on to be with Him forevermore. Amen? That's what gives us hope. I have my mom and daddy gone. I have 3 brothers gone. The hope is seeing them again. Because there's a heaven. There's a place of God's abode. Amen? We don't know. We just don't know. I mean, I always use myself, but Donna gets mad at me, but I don't know if I'm going to live the day out. Donna says, don't say that. I want to beat her to heaven. That's selfish of me, but I want to beat her to heaven. Heaven is a wonderful place. I've had a foretaste of heaven. Every day that you live the Christian life is a foretaste of heaven. Now, you may not look at it that way, but you should look at it that way. The blessings of God upon your life because there's an eternity. There's a place called heaven. Amen? I believe there's a real heaven because of the testimony of faithful martyrs that has given their lives for Him. I think about Stephen as he stood and was stoned to death and went to sleep. The Bible says he was stoned to death and he looked up and saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father. Well, I believe with all of my heart he saw Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father because he said he did. Amen. He was looking into heaven, seeing Jesus standing at the right hand of the Father, God the Father. I think about James. It doesn't say he looked and saw, but it wasn't too long after that that James was run through with a sword, willing to die for his testimony of Christ. I think in the book of Revelation about Antipas, that faithful martyr. Jesus called him that faithful martyr. I think about all of those down through the years has given their lives. They've been burned at the stake. They've given themselves up for the message of Jesus Christ. Because there is a heaven. Amen? No doubt about it. You imagine all of those multitudes and multitudes and multitudes and multitudes has died for the name of Christ. Why? Because there's a real heaven. There's a real eternity, you see. I remember, and I don't go for this spooky stuff. Well, hope you know, I told you I'm not Benny Hinn. But I remember it right in this house right up here. It's the old parsonage. Sitting up there, and my wife and I went into a room where her mother was laying for, she'd been with us for 7 years. Was laying in that room, and we just happened to, I say we just happened, but we just kind of wandered in there that morning. We knew Ruth was not doing real well. We wandered in there. She was on one side of the bed and I was on the other. We were just kind of talking across the bed. And Ruth was kind of sleeping and kind of out of it a little bit. And all at once, she just raised up in bed. I mean, raised her head. And she couldn't do that. She raised her head and shoulders up and smiled. And she laid her head back down on the pillow. And I said to Donna, as I remember, she sees things that we don't see. And in just about, 3 or 4 minutes? I don't know, 3 or 4 minutes, something like that, she did it again. She just raised right up off of that, you know, and just smiled the most beautiful smile. Laid down, took her last breath, and went to heaven. Now, I really do believe in my mind, I've thought back about that, I think God did that for this lady here. For 7 years, she had cared for her mother. For quite a few of those years, she had changed her like a little baby. She'd pureed all of her food and fed her through a tube. She'd done that for years and years and years. Now, we're not griping, we're not complaining. I just think God gave her an extra thank you. Just do. There's no doubt in my mind that Ruth saw things that we didn't see. Sweetest, beautiful smile came on her face. I'm just saying to you folks, heaven is a wonderful place. And you want to be ready to go there. I want to just ask you a question. Why would anybody want to miss heaven? Why would anybody want to miss heaven? Now, I want to tell you one thing, and we'll close. You're going to miss it if you don't go through the door of heaven, which is Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I want you to listen to me a minute. I want you to imagine we can't see through the atmospheric heaven. We can't see through the stars and all of that. We just can't see it. We can't see on into God's throne. But say we could this morning. I want to guarantee you there'll be no one in or into that door unless they've come through the door, Jesus Christ. There is no one. How are you going? I'm just going to ask you a question. How are you going to get up to heaven? They can't even get into the farthest reaches of the universe. They can't make it. They get into the little lower part. And it goes on and on. That Hubble telescope sees things that they've never seen before, and they don't see it. It doesn't see the end of it. So God's heaven is way, way above all those things. Now, folks, you can't get there except through Christ. Now, I want you to listen to me. Listen, everybody, listen just real quickly. You must be born again. There must be a time in your life. I'm not talking about you joined a church. I'm not talking about even that you got baptized. Those are good things, but they're not salvation. You must know that there's a time in your life when you have repented of your sins. You've been sorry for your sin. And you've said to God, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. And I need to be saved. And the only way to be saved is through Jesus Christ who died for my sins. And you're willing to put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, call upon him and ask him to be your Savior and give you eternal life. Now, has there truly been that time in your life and you know that God saved you and you're God's child? If there has not, you're not ready for heaven. I'm not trying to be mean. I'm trying to be honest with you. I'm trying to help you. You need to be born again. And you know what? I've got good news. You could just get that taken care of this morning.